wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see.
This is the Grace and Truth program. And now we continue these messages of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman, and the song evangelist, Stan Carey.
The cry of the lost. In the Bible, we read of a man who cried, "What must I do to be saved?" He lived in the city of Philippi. He was a big, rough jailer, hard and unmerciful. He was a heathen man, worshiping his worthless idols. Just that day, two strange Jews had been mercilessly beaten by the court, and he had been called to take those two away. He dragged them to his jail and shoved them into the inner prison, fastened their feet in the stocks, pressed their bleeding backs against the boards, and chained them fast. But those two persecuted Jews were servants of the Most High God, who brought the message of salvation. In Christ, they had found a peace and happiness that the world could not take away. And with bleeding backs and pain-racked bodies, they still could sing the praises of the Lord Jesus, whom they loved and served. That night, in the jail, those two men held a prayer meeting. The jailer crept near in the dark. It was not curses he heard, but praises and singing and praying for the magistrates, and a special prayer for the salvation of the jailer who had so abused them. That hard heart began to soften. He drank in every word. It seemed all centered about one person. They called him the Lord Jesus Christ. The jailer realized those men had something he knew nothing about, and whatever that salvation was, he certainly needed it. He slips back to his home, tells his wife, then they fall off to sleep. Prayer is answered by the living God. There is an earthquake. The prison doors fly open. Chains fall off. And the jailer, fearing death if the prisoners escape, is at the point of suicide. He has come to the end of his rope. Being assured the prisoners were all there, he cries out, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" What an evidence of the Holy Spirit's conviction of that poor sinner. What must I do to be saved? Have you ever cried that cry? You, not your relative, not your neighbor, you. When we hear that cry, we know that man is troubled about his soul. Have you ever been troubled about your soul? I mean really deeply concerned as you face the eternal destiny of your never-dying soul. So troubled you cannot sleep, your appetite is gone, and you walk around like a man with a great dread before you. You know it's certainty, and you have neglected to take God's warning to flee from the wrath to come. To avoid this time of conviction of sin, some people never get saved. But if a person has that much soul trouble when he considers eternity, what will you experience when you actually stand before God in the day of judgment, and God faces you with all your sins, and God decrees, "Cast that wicked sinner into everlasting fire"? You will tremble like a leaf. Neighbor, you had better be troubled about your soul now and be saved. Don't you think so? When a man cries, "What must I do to be saved?" he realizes that he is lost and he needs to be saved. Did you ever realize that you are lost? Yes, lost in sin, lost away from God. One woman is lost in dope, a dope addict. A man is lost in alcohol. It has conquered him and led him away from his home and business, an alcoholic. Another has a mania to take whatever she sees, a shoplifter. Or another is lost in gambling. He wins a bit and then loses all, and himself too. But some more respectable folks in my audience say, "You're not talking about me, preacher." Then I will let someone else talk to you. Your conscience will put its finger on your sins. Your conscience will charge you did it. Your conscience has an accurate memory. What can you say? I hope you'll say, "I am lost too. What must I do to be saved?" This cry indicates that one really wants to be saved. Neighbor, if you want to be lost and live on in your sins and go to hellfire, the choice is yours to make. Human destiny is not a chance, it's a choice. You will never be saved until you, yes, you want to be saved. Your Christian loved ones want you to be saved, but that won't do. They may fall on their knees and cry to God all night for your soul, but that will not do. You must fall on your knees and confess, "Oh, God, I'm a lost sinner, but I want to be saved now." If you read your Bible, is this what Jesus said? "How often would I have gathered thy children, even as a cat gathers her kittens, but ye would not." You say, "Preacher, you got it wrong. He said as a hen gathers her chickens." Right. What is the difference? You know. The mother cat grabs her kittens by the back of the neck and moves them where she wants. But the hen, seeing the hawk or rat, clucks and earnestly calls her biddies to come under her wings for shelter. God will never grab you by the back of the neck and put you into his kingdom. He calls you, and you must want to be saved, and you must come. But someone will say, "If God has all power, he ought to stop me going the wrong way." You don't mean that. Think. God sent to you that Christian mother, that Sunday school teacher, that evangelist, that mate of yours, all to stop you. Did you thank God for them? No. You blessed them out and went on in your sin down that broad road to hellfire. Whose fault is it? God's? No, it is your fault. God has done his part, but he respects your will, for you're not a block of wood, but a human being. By your choice, it must be your will and desire to be saved. As certainly as all will be eternally saved or eternally lost, just so, right now, you desire one or the other. Which is it, saved or lost, now and forever? Tell God the desire of your heart. I once asked a young girl if she was saved, and she answered, "No, but I want to be saved." I then asked her, "Jane, did you ever get down on your knees before God and tell him that you wanted to be saved?" She had never done so. No wonder she was not saved. Have you ever done this? Of all the sermons you have heard, you never heard one when you were so near to hellfire as you are right now. May this solemn fact bring you to your knees to cry, "Oh God, I'm lost, and I really want to be saved." We dare not linger. We dare not keep such a soul in suspense. At once comes the answer, spoken by the apostle to the Gentiles, confirmed by his fellow missionary, approved by heavenly saving power, written down by God the Holy Spirit in the eternal word of God, and sent to all men as God's answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" Here it is. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Observe well that God's salvation is only and altogether in one person, Jesus Christ our Lord. Receive the Savior, and you will have salvation. Salvation is in him alone. To this agree the testimony of the Apostle Peter, as he filled with the Holy Spirit preached, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." There is a church today that claims Peter as its founder. It claims power to save or to damn the souls of men, saving them if they faithfully follow the orders of their church. Were Peter to enter the councils of that church, he would denounce their church-saving theory, and pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven, he would thunder in their ears, "Neither is there salvation in any other. It is Christ who saves and no church." Did a church die on the cross for your sins? Can a church break the power of death and rise triumphantly as did our Lord Jesus? Lost one, wanting to be saved, turn your eyes to the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone can save you. Don't look to a church or lodge to save you, nor to an altar, a communion table, or to the waters of baptism. Don't look to a Sabbath day commandment, or to all 10 of them. The law will condemn you, but only Jesus can save you. When I meet that once jailer of Philippi in heaven, I'll say to him, "Brother, it was good that when you were troubled about your soul, God had Paul and Silas there to show you the right way. For if he had been here today and cried, 'What must I do to be saved?' he would have received 100 wild and unscriptural answers, and the poor bewildered man would not have known what to do." If some of you in my audience say, "That's it, I hear you preach, and then I hear someone else tell me different, I don't know what to believe." Here are two rules to help you. First, to know how to get rich, you would ask a man who was rich and not a pauper, right? Now just ask those who tell you their way of salvation this question, "Are you saved?" And they wither away. whether the man who trusts in his church or the man with his religion of human goodness. Believe me, neighbor, in my over 60 years in the ministry of the gospel and in speaking to all kinds of religious people, I have yet to find the first man who can sincerely say, I am saved, I know I'm saved, now and forever, except as I meet the one who is trusting for salvation only in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did for him on Calvary. Now notice the verse. It says, believe on the Lord. This means I submit to him as my Lord and Master to obey him. Believe on the Lord Jesus. That means I commit my soul, my life, my whole being to him as my Savior, to trust him alone with my all forever. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ means that he is over all, God blessed forever. And as my God, I fear and reverence him whom I worship as my Lord and my God. As Lord, as Jesus, and as Christ, I receive him and believe on him. This is the faith that saves. Second, go by God's word. Many scriptures you may not understand, and deceivers may confuse you with their Bible arguments. But when you read in your Bible, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Then anchor your faith in that plain word of God. It can only mean what it says. Act on it, and you will be saved, and know you are. How do you act on it? Right where you are, get alone with God. Get on your knees, open your Bible, and read out loud before God those plain words. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It is God's offer to you, and he awaits your answer. Tell him, O God, I'm going to do what thy word tells me, and I will believe. I now believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. With this as your decision and your choice, you can rise a new person, prepared to live and prepared to die, a real believer, a Christian, saved, to know it, to show it, and to enjoy it, and to tell others of your wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. May this be your experience. Our Lord Jesus Christ said that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. What claim has any man to this divine Savior? Only one. It is all in that word, lost. It is the key to God's salvation in Christ Jesus. But you may ask, lost? How am I lost? Neighbor, you're lost in four ways. First, you are lost in the pit of sin and unable to deliver yourself. Sin clutches you as its captive and slave. Second, you are lost on that broad road with your back on God and your face toward hellfire and soon to be in those everlasting burnings. Third, you are lost as a part of the world that murdered God's Son and is headed for the wrath and vengeance of Almighty God. Fourth, you are lost as you have disobeyed God's commandments and ignored his claims over you, and in defiance you've gone on in self-will. And now, as lost, you are hanging as by a thread, and soon that thread will snap, and you will fall into the hands of the living God for his judgment. So, neighbor, awake to your lost condition and call on the Lord Jesus to save you. Be desperately in earnest and call, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm lost, and I cannot save myself, but thou canst save me. In my awful plight, I beg thee to look on me in thy mercy and rescue me. Thou art my only hope, and I just cast myself at thy feet to save me, as I confess thee as my Lord and my Savior. Thou hast died for my sins, and I believe thou art the living Lord in heaven. Lord Jesus, save me, or I will perish forever. That cry will put you in the divine presence of the Lord Jesus, as he is seeking lost sinners to save them. And you will have an experience never to be forgotten as the Lord Jesus receives you to be his own forever. And you can say, I am my Lord's and he is mine forever. I was lost, but Jesus saved me. I thank thee, Lord Jesus. Amen. This is another message of the Holy Spirit of God to you through his bondservant, David Brinkman.